We continue to mock the 2020 NBA draft here at Warriors.com, Warriors Sound, and SoundCloud.com/Warriors. We're early in our draft. We're up to pick number two, and that, of course, is for your Golden State Warriors. The Minnesota Timberwolves selecting first took Anthony Edwards of Georgia, opting for the need as opposed to maybe taking LaMelo Ball or James Wiseman out of Memphis. Now, to help us select for the Warriors, longtime NBA scribe, longtime Warriors scribe, and that's Anthony Slater of The Athletic. And Anthony, thank you so much for helping us out. And how have you survived the last few months here after the NBA had to shut down in March?
Well, you know, I mean, at least there was basketball, there was sports, you know, with everything else going on around us, that was at least somewhat of a comfort. And then we are starting to get a sense that it's not going to be too long till we get a lot of basketball, a lot of movement, draft, free agency, training camp, bunch of games. So we have survived in some sense.
So let me ask you this, and I think it's a topic that obviously seven other teams are going to have to face, but what difficulties do you see for the Warriors and the other seven teams that simply haven't played a game since March?
Rust, for sure. I mean, and we talk March for other teams. When you talk about the Warriors' core, it's a lot further than that. It's for Klay Thompson, it's what, 18 months probably he'll have gone without an NBA game by the time they play. Draymond Green, I think, what did he play, like, you know, 40 pretty just you know, low energy games, or whatever you want to call it, last year. And then Steph Curry, 5 games in 18 months time, so, you know, a lot of time for a layoff. And they're gonna have to deal with that early. Also, they're probably going to be integrating a brand new roster. We'll see what they do exactly this summer, but at the same time, you would expect them at least mentally to be a lot more there than some of their West competitors who basically just got out of the bubble last month, essentially. So I think, you know, in one ways, it'll be good for the Warriors, and in others, rust-wise, it might be difficult early.
When you look at this roster right now, what do you perceive are their needs?
I think they need a big and a wing and a backup point guard, right? You know, it's pretty simple everywhere on the roster. No, but, yeah, I mean, big and wing for sure. Marquese Chris, I do think, has a solid future, probably more than people who only remember his Phoenix days realize. But he's 6'9". He came into the league as like a 3-4 combo. To me, he's not the guy that you're just going to plant on a Nikola Jokic and an Anthony Davis in a 7-game series and feel comfortable. So is that veteran free agency? Is that a James Wiseman, who I assume we're going to get to pretty soon? Maybe, but they definitely need a 7-footer. And then as much wing help as you can get, because it's the modern NBA. And they lost all their good wing defenders from the dynasty days.
Now, as you look at the Warriors and the whole picture of the draft and their needs, do you expect the Warriors to be active trade-wise? Do you expect the NBA to be active trade-wise?
Yes, and I guess the component of this we don't really know is like the financial damage, and we don't yet know the salary cap numbers either, and that adds to the financial uncertainty. And I think you're going to have a lot of teams maybe making some like financially motivated deals where, you know, the tips of balance, you can't just judge it on like on court, you know, is what side does the deal favor. So I think we might see some like head scratching moves from some franchises. And if the Warriors are willing to spend, particularly their $17.2 million trade exception, they have a lot of tools, and if they have the appetite, I think they could really, you know, jump this roster up.
Now, last year the Warriors made a move, of course, sending D'Angelo Russell in essence for Andrew Wiggins. There are other components of the trade, which is, of course, one of which is a number one pick for the Warriors, but coming up in a future draft. But where do you see Wiggins fitting in with this team, and what do you project from him?
You know, I like him. I think rightly his contract is looked at, a lot of teams view that as a negative value out on the market because he's making 30-something million. But the reality is, if he was a free agent this summer, or on most summers, I think he'd get like 18. Let's say he's an $18 million wing, $20 million wing. That's a solid component to have. That's Harrison Barnes from the early days of this kind of Warriors run. And that's what they desperately need now that Durant's not there, Iguodala's not there, Livingston's not there. He fits the roster much better than D'Angelo Russell did. And I think there's more to him that wasn't seen in Minnesota that I thought in the 12 games he played with the Warriors, they were starting to unlock defensively a little bit with the off-ball movement. You know, and you talk to people behind the scenes, Ron Adams, like, they like his future here. And, I mean, we'll see. He could be traded if the right deal came along. But the franchise right now views him as just they're starting small forward the next few years.
So now we're at the point in our mock draft where we start to get into it. So the Anthony Edwards is off the board, and if there are no deals concerning the Warriors and this pick, give me the scenario here. What names are they looking at, and just what are the pluses and minuses of those names?
Yeah, well, they've had, like, what, 7 months, 8 months now without a chance to canvas the league. And go back to November, basically the moment Steph broke his hand, they're like, draft time. So they've looked at a lot of names. But because they got the second overall pick, to me, that kind of pares it down. If you don't trade, you know, there are definitely trade-down options still on the table. But let's say they pick at two. I think you got to go really high up, so you're not just going to pick a Tyrese Haliburton, in my opinion, who – is a seventh man, maybe an immediate seventh man, but you don't go for seventh man at second overall pick. So Denny Avdija, I think they really like, but that almost seems also like a reach at two. We'll see. I have been pumping the James Wiseman bandwagon. I think he's an obvious fit. I think he became more of a clear fit when the playoffs started, and we're starting to see that power forward is really the position in the NBA that died, not center. There's centers, wings, bit or in guards, and I think Wiseman at 7'1" obviously can be the rim protector. They need the rim runner. I feel like he has a high floor, but I also think he has a high ceiling, maybe the highest ceiling in the draft, because you know he can immediately basically be like JaVale McGee, which is not sexy for a second pick. But I think long term, you know, Rudy Gobert potentially defensively, he has that kind of size, length. We'll see if he has you know, the smarts for it. But to me, at two, if they decided to use that pick, he kind of seems like the obvious choice, and not only for fit, but I think he's best player available.
You know, it's interesting too, because it also gives the Warriors something that I think that they really could use in this upcoming season and the upcoming few seasons, in terms of it gives them a young set of legs and some big athleticism, something that they had at one point and need to get back to.
Yeah, Kevin Durant was, like, I think ninth in the NBA in blocks. It was probably the most underrated part of the Durant era was his defense, right? I mean, he rebounded eight a game, let's say. He blocked a couple shots. Sometimes he'd go on, like, shot-blocking binge. I remember at one point, it was, like, deep December, January, he was, like, number one in the league in blocks. And they're missing that. And Iguodala provided some of that athleticism, that fringe athleticism that's just – it's kind of been stripped from the roster. Their core guys remaining are very good, obviously, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, but they're not the elite athletes, the jumpers. And you're right. I mean, Wiseman is a ready-made lob threat, gazelle in transition, will block, you know, a couple shots a game. Now, you know, you worry about some of the other parts of his defense. He should guard in the pick and roll in the modern NBA. But he will inject them with just, like you said, the life, the legs that they need right away. And then while he's doing that on the floor, during your off days, you go, hey, Ron Adams, you know, really try to move him into a long-term all-star center. I definitely think he has all-star center potential.
So with Edwards off the board, Minnesota has taken him, and Adam Silver takes that stroll to the podium. We get that little tinkle of the electronic piano music. And what happens then?
Well, it's a Zoom call this year, right?
Yeah, exactly, yes.
Yeah.
The music's still going to be there, though. I think the music will still be there somehow, somewhere. You can't have a draft without that.
I agree. I believe he says James Wiseman, center Memphis. 3 games at Memphis only, but I think it's emerging more and more as the obvious pick, even if it doesn't fit what we thought about the Warriors in the past. They don't prioritize centers necessarily with, you know, valuable roster-building tools, but – you know, you can't only just try to build on what you were. You have to look at what's available to you. And I think of what's available to them, Wiseman seems obvious to me.
Yeah, and the other part, too, is that I think if you look at the team that you have to get past, which is in your division, and if this is the pick or whatever moves the Warriors have to make, they do have to get bigger in order to contend with the defending champions.
Yeah, and you don't get much bigger than 7'1", 7'6" wingspan, 9'6" standing reach, and not a thin guy either. He's Rudy Gobert size, but he's not Rudy Gobert weight coming out. I mean, he's kind of David Robinson 2.0 built-wise. So I think body-wise, he's ready to compete on an NBA floor.
And finally, anything that we should look forward from Anthony Slater before the draft?
Yeah, probably going to write a bunch of draft coverage, right? I mean, we're going to be really – it's finally here. I feel like I've written all summer. But, yeah, draft coverage, free agency right after that, and then basketball again, actual on-court basketball.
That's going to be sweet. Anthony, thank you so much as always. We appreciate it, and our best to you and yours.
Yep, thanks for having me.
That's Anthony Slater of The Athletic. I'm Tim Roy. Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman are off the board now. The Charlotte Hornets are on the clock.